One by one, the days are fleeting, the moments are fleeting, and one day we will meet in that promised land. That is a promise from Christ, it is a promise from God, and that promise stands on, have you given your heart and life completely and totally over to Jesus Christ, that he's number one in your life, that he's number one in all that you think, say, or do, that he has taken and given of himself for you. There was a minister one time that had went to visit a lady, and she had was a Christian for some time, and she said, Pastor, I have given my total self and everything to Jesus. He is number one in my life, and I am happy to say that everything that I have or owned or thought was mine is from him, and it all belongs to him. He gets all the glory. The pastor said, you know, I thank you for that. It is wonderful to know that you have given everything you have to Christ because he gave it to you in the first place. Then he looked and he says, ma'am, are you sure you have given everything? Everything you have? And she says, definitely. I have given him my life. I have given him my home. I've given him my finances. I've given him my business. I've given him everything. And he says, can I ask you a question? And she said, sure. And he says, you have a beautiful looking daughter here in the picture. Yes, she's my only daughter, my only child. Have you given her to Jesus? The lady looked at the pastor and she says, I will have you know, that's my only child and she belongs to me. She's mine and she's here for me. And the pastor said, I don't want to interrupt you or your belief. I want you to have Jesus first. But have you given everything, including your children, including your parents, including your relatives, to Jesus Christ? We have to answer that question ourselves. Is there some little thing in our life that holds us back? We say, Lord, you can have it all, but I want a new snowmobile, or I want a car, or I want this, or I want that. And that little inkling of it's mine tells us we haven't given everything to Jesus Christ. When I was sick, I told Jesus, I says, Lord, if you want me to preach and teach, you have to give me the wisdom. You have to give me the health to be able to do that. God has been healing my body, and I believe he wants me to preach and teach. But that means I must study too, the Word of God. And I must be willing to have God first in all that I say or do. As we look at this portion of scripture today, we find that this woman was willing and wanting not only the blessings of Christ, but to do it so God would be glorified. And so we read from Matthew chapter 15, beginning with verse 21. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Now, for those of you who don't know where Tyre and Sidon is. It's along the Mediterranean Sea, north of Tel Aviv, in what today is Lebanon. And so it was in Gentile country. And back then, this is one of the few places where it talks about the Canaanites. The Canaanites were no longer around, but this was might have been some offspring or relatives of them at that time. So Jesus had went north of Israel. He had went out of Israel itself and was in a foreign country, a Gentile country, in Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But Jesus answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then this woman, she came and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And the lady, she says, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be as you have so desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. We see God moving a mighty way throughout the Old Testament and even in through the New Testament and even in the world today. He's moving in such a way that we can not but help see his word and his work. In the Old Testament, as we read when Steve was reading that, we find that Egypt was going back to get Israel to come back as slaves to their country. And we find that the Israelites didn't know what to do. They had the Red Sea in front of them, and they had the Egyptians behind them who were taskmasters beyond measure. And God says, "Don't be afraid. Stand still and know that I am the Lord thy God, and today I will show you that I am the Lord, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord thy God, that not only created the heavens and the earth, but created everything that we have." That Adam and Eve in their fall giving that deed to the world, to the devil, we're going to take it back, and it's going to be ours. So God tells Moses, he says, "Tell your people to go forward towards the Red Sea." And he went behind them, and he made it dark between them and the Egyptians so the Egyptians couldn't see the Israelites. And he told Moses, "Raise your staff up over the Red Sea." And the Red Sea parted. Can you see walking through the Red Sea on dry land immediately when the water separated and two big walls of water, one on each side of you, going up, maybe spraying down a little bit to keep you cool? It says the Israelites went over on dry land. The Egyptians, seeing this, they go into the Red Sea, and God has their chariot wheels falling off of them. And the geologists and stuff today that checks some of these things out says in the Red Sea, there is a sandbar about 250 feet wide. And on that sandbar are chariot wheels and bridles and things from horses and other things which soldiers might have. There are wheels there that's wrapped with gold, which would be the top officials of the Egyptian army. And it's on that particular sandbar, because if you get off of it, you go down several hundred feet into the water. And as the Israelites moved across on dry land, God tells Moses, raise your staff again and bring those waters back the way they're supposed to be. And they drowned. It says the Egyptian chariots, their horsemen, and their soldiers that were in the sea. They all drowned, and the Israelites seen the power of God. The Egyptians realized that the God of Israel was fighting against them. The Israelites realized it was God Almighty that was fighting for them. And it was that God that gave them victory. Then the Egyptians in the wilderness had to go 40 years, and that's another story, but they failed the test that God gave them. Yet God gave them clothes and food and things that did not wear out for all those years. Then we go into the epistle lesson, and as Steve read, Paul says, we have told you how to live as a Christian. Do not have the lust of pride or the lust of life dwelling in your heart, but have Jesus Christ first. Learn to control yourself, and that you should learn to live for Jesus and Jesus alone. And in learning to live for him, yes, we may make some mistakes, but God will forgive us if we sincerely come back to him and ask him for forgiveness. You see, we will be sanctified, not just justified, when we accept Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. It's by grace are we saved through faith, the faith that Jesus died on Calvary's cross for us, that he was dead and buried, that he rose again, that he ascended into heaven, and he is the first fruits of the everlasting life. We find that when we leave this life, we have an everlasting life, either in glory or in condemnation. We find that God himself has told us this several times. And in Ezekiel, he says, I have no pleasure in the death of a wicked man, but that that wicked man would turn from his way. That today is the day of salvation. It's the acceptable time. As Christians, are we willing to take our own lives and go through them and say, I am serving Christ 100%? And many times we find that we would be short because someplace along the line we want something for ourselves or for someone dear and near to us. God says, I will take care of it. As we sang, we can bring all of our troubles to Jesus, but Jesus is there for us. He's there watching over us. When this woman came to Jesus today in our text, she is a Gentile, and Jesus says, I was sent to the house of Israel. I was sent to the one that God made a covenant with through Abraham, and through Abraham I made a covenant, God says, that those people would be blessed. They will be my chosen people. I will send them salvation. He sent Jesus in to be born. Jesus was sent because God so loved the world. He was born in Bethlehem. He had to flee from Satan in order to grow up. He grew up in Nazareth, and as he does his ministry, now he's doing his ministry, and he's in the Mediterranean area, and he maybe wants some rest because he's been healing and preaching the word. And so he goes up into the Gentile country of Sidon and Tyre. And there that woman sees him and knows him, and she says, Lord, have mercy on me. help my daughter who is demon-possessed to take and chase Satan out of her that she could be your child. Jesus don't answer. And Jesus says it's not right for us to give our food to the Gentiles or the gospel. Yet she's very determined and she says, Lord, we want what you are giving the chosen people. You see, those chosen people rejected Christ. So the Gentiles received the gospel of Christ. The Gentiles or the nations around Israel accepted what Israel did not want. That Christ came as the Son of the living God. That Christ came as a baby and he lived 33 years just like you and I. And in those 33 years, he proved he was the Son of the living God. He healed. He brought back to life. He did many, many things. And many of them are not written. And John says if everything was written, the whole world could not hold the books that would be written about Christ. But these things are written that you may believe. One of the things that Jesus said in Scripture, and it's there, what is the work of God? It's to believe, to have faith, to trust, to have that justification that Jesus died for our sins, the sanctification that we are filled with the Spirit as we walk with Jesus every day. That in that walking and that sanctification will never be completely filled until we get into heaven. We find that the position of having Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior is probably the first step in which we would take in having sanctification filling our life. Then we find that we have the practical solutions of living for Jesus Christ. Is your life showing Jesus in what you say or do? Do you get angry at different people and you let them know what you think of them? Or do you pray for them? Jesus says, love your enemy. Pray for those who despitefully use you. He doesn't say that you have to bow down to them or anything like that, but pray for those who despitefully use you. Pray for those who make fun of you, because they will find that the things that they think they're making fun of you on is not holding any water for them. We read in the paper this week, and I'm very disappointed in it, in the Roseau paper, the editor wrote, is swearing good for you? And she came to the conclusion that it was. Why would you want to take the name of God in vain? Why would you ask God to put curses on people or on things? The editorial said, oh, it makes a person feel honest and it makes them feel good and clean. It does not. It's sin, and sin will kill you if you dwell in it, and if you live in it. We must work the work of God while it is day. We must work the work of God while he has given us the strength in which to do it. We must work the work of God in all his ways as his Spirit leads us and guides us, as we have not only the strength and the knowledge, but he gives us the opportunity in which to serve him. Yes, the Christian life can be hard in some cases, but we are blessed so far in this country, or at least in this part of the area. We find that we can profess our Christian faith. We find most people will at least listen to us a little bit, even if they don't agree with us. We find many of them want to take and make the Bible say what they want, and they forget that God's thoughts are above our thoughts and God's ways are above our ways. We forget that God is sanctifying us and filling us with the Holy Spirit as we read and study His holy word. We find that there are more Bibles printed in the world than any other book, and yet we find a very biblical illiteracy among the people because they do not read and study the scripture. They do not take upon themselves the word of God and to see what it says. There's a woman in Canada, and she has a church. Don't ask. My question is, how did she ever get hired by the church in the first place? She's an atheist, or claims to be an atheist, and she has that church today rewriting scripture, rewriting hymns that they do not mention Jesus Christ. They do not mention salvation. And she says, now we can fly away. They will not fly away. In eternity, unless they change, they would be in damnation forever. God says, I have no pleasure in the death of an evil person. Turn from your evil way and be saved. We find that the church pew surveyed a bunch of people, and they did two different types of surveys. One was, if you attend church, do you think of suicide and all of these things? And the life of those that attend church, suicide and hurting someone or hating someone, decreases very sharply. And 36% of them said, I am much happier because I go to church. Those that didn't attend church, 25% of them said, we're very unhappy. Why? Go to church. Hear the word of God. God can give you happiness. He can fulfill your life. And He can take your troubles, regardless how big they are. And because He gives you that peace, you have that inner peace about you that will never leave you. And it'll make you happy. It'll make you peaceful. Yes, the problems, the world problems, are still there. But you are happy in Jesus Christ because He is your Lord and your Savior. And He has given you the Holy Spirit living in you and making you happy, that you can shine out through His glory to those round about you. You know, it makes a person wonder sometimes, doesn't it? We have also many different things we could talk about on happenings in the world, in the United States. The United States is number 20 in countries that are against the Jews and against different religions, where they would do protests and things like that. Number 20. North Korea is number one. China is doing everything they can to stop Christianity. Yet the people in China are going to jail for up to 7-8 years because they will not give up their Jesus Christ. They will not give up their Lord and Savior. This woman, as she come to Jesus, she says, Lord, have mercy on me. And Jesus says, you know, I was sent to Israel, to the tribe of Israel, the chosen people, and it isn't right then to take and come over to you. And she says, yes, but Lord, the Israelites, if they don't want to listen to you, we'll take whatever you got. And Jesus says, because your faith is so strong, may it be done to you as you desire. And her daughter was cleansed from that evil spirit. How is it in our lives? Are we so strong and determined that Jesus is first in all that we think, say, or do, that our total self is given over to Christ? Let's live for Jesus. Jesus died for us. He came of his own accord. And he went through 33 years of hard times here on earth, as we would call hard times, and gave himself, stretching out his arms and dying on the cross of Calvary for you and for me. And he says, as I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people unto myself. And that's exactly what he has done. He was dead, buried. He rose again, and in that rising, he showed his victory over sin and over death and over the devil. And he says, I am the Lord thy God. Serve me always, and you too will live in glory. Heavenly Father, we pray that we may live for you, that we will do your will, that we will stand for you, and that we will give our all to you. In Jesus' name, amen.